Hello, welcome to Candlewood Community Church. We have a new format thanks to the coronavirus, the COVID-19 that's been going around. I'm Jerry Peterson. I am one of the elders at Candlewood, and I have Pastor Mike Gibbons here with me, and we're going to hear from him in just a little bit. Let me let you know what's going on here. First of all, as you probably already know, we have for the foreseeable future canceled all of our activities, our services on Sunday morning and the various groups and things like that, and we'll keep you advised as those things progress. So because of this change of format, change of venue, change of everything, it seems like, that might lead us to wonder, well, how do we give to keep Candlewood going? Because believe it or not, our expenses are pretty nearly identical whether we gather on Sunday or not. We still have staff to pay, and we have rent to pay on the building that we can't really use right now. Things like that, but you can still continue to give. So many of you are already having your checks mailed automatically to Candlewood, and that's great. Just keep on doing that. You may choose to switch to that method, and also we have a PayPal button on our homepage, candlewoodfl.org. If you just go to the homepage, you can find out what's going on for one thing, and also there's a link there that you can give securely and easily through PayPal. And then there are also automatic ways that you can have your bank send checks. The house church system that we're hoping to be launching into very soon, as you might guess, that's been delayed because of all the things going on with COVID-19. And so while there is a delay, that's still our plan, and we're going to be moving into that as soon as we're able to gather in groups again. So those are our announcements. And right now I'm going to bring in Pastor Mike Gibbons, and he's got a message for us.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that very much. In fact, as you look at what's going on now with the spread of this virus, I would encourage you at Candlewood and any of our listeners to, if you trust in Jesus Christ, just at this time, do not be in fear. The scripture tells us to be alert and awake, and we'll be talking a little bit about that later in Ephesians chapter 6. But the fact of the matter is we are called to pray, and in all matters seek what God has in those matters. And I ask you to pray in a very bold way today. And that would be, how does God want to use me in this situation with my neighbors and with my family? Why am I very interestingly put in this spot at this time? And what does he want to accomplish through me? And how will his kingdom be furthered? And how will he be glorified in these things? I think that's the big challenge for how we think through this situation for the time that we're honestly quarantining from each other. I'd like you to take just a moment before we start here, and I'd like you, since we're not getting together, I'd like you to think as you're sitting on your couch or at your table, and think about somebody else in the body of Christ right now. They might go to Candlewood. They might not. We know we've got listeners in different places around the country. Think of somebody right now that God brings to your mind that you might pray for. Think of them right now. And then would you pray for them, and I'll tell you why. They're facing the same battle you are, and you're thinking probably about the virus, but the battle that I'm talking about is the spiritual warfare battle that's on 24/7, and they will not find any way to fix that. It's going to go on for the rest of their life as they represent Christ. So why don't you take just a moment right now. Don't like to let radio time and recording time go silent, but just a few seconds. And would you pray for the person that God brought to mind right now, and pray for them as they face the same spiritual battles that you do? Would you do that right now? Let me tell you something from my background. When I was a teen and had literally just come to Jesus Christ, and for many of you, you might find it hard to believe, but this kid from an alcoholic home wandered into a Bible-believing church, as the Holy Spirit would have it. And as I got more involved there over time, there was one older guy, old Swedish guy, who would track me down and for some reason took an interest in me, and which I thought was kind of neat. And he would come up to me and say, "Hey, Mike, how are things going?" And I'd say, "Well, you know, here's what's going on. School, this is bad, or work is bad." And I would tell him something, but it was usually of the bad category. And he would always put his arm out on my shoulder and say to me, "Let's pray about it first, and then we can talk." And I would watch him bow his head, and he'd pray out loud. And I would stand there looking off in a distance thinking, what a waste of time. What a fool. I came to you and shared with you something from my heart, and I need you to take action. And prayer is not that action. Prayer is just wasting my time. Now get through your prayer and tell me what you're thinking. Well, you know, after a number of times he did that, I think I learned a valuable lesson from this guy. and that is that we are people who pray. And that is why even in this time with the coronavirus and all of the things that go on, we pray. That's why when we start to realize that we're in a spiritual battle, we go and we pray. And you'll notice in the scripture that I'm going to share this morning that Paul has given us a list of weaponry. In fact, I'm just going to cover it real quick without much explanation. You can go back to the previous sermons and look at each of these individually. You'll see that Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, and he says that we're to take up the whole armor of God. You might say, what is that? Well, if you go further into the next verses, 14 and following, you see him mention a belt of truth. Then he goes on to talk about a breastplate of righteousness. Then he actually talks about shoes, shoes for your feet, which is the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Then he talks about the stuff that I was exciting to cover last week, just last week, the shield of faith, which talks about extinguishing the flaming darts and arrows of the evil one. And then he says this, we can all relate to this, then take the helmet of salvation. And then the thing I love to hear about, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, Paul gives us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a great list of weaponry and defenses to stand up against the battle with Satan. But guess what? There's one catch. Everybody stops after this list is done. In fact, a lot of people, if they're speaking through this series and hitting each of these like we've hit over the previous weeks, you would say, okay, now we're done. I hit the last piece here, and that was where to pick up the sword. Everybody remember, pick up your sword, the word of God, and get in the battle. But we leave out probably the most important component of our spiritual battle plan, and that is this. It's in verse 18. If you've got your Bible or got your phone, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 18 with me. Let me read it for you. It says this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And the principle I'd like to look at this morning is this, and I'm calling it our posture, and that is to be alert. The fact of the matter is you can dress all you want, you can prepare all you want, you can train all you want for battle, but if you're going to go over there and sit in an easy chair and take a nap and not be alert, then you're doomed in this fight. And it seems to me that all through my life, different people at every stage of my life have said this, Mike, be alert. Mike, pay attention. And I don't think I come off like somebody who's not alert and paying attention, but I can't tell you the number of coaches in my life that would yell at me from the sidelines, hey, Gibbons, be alert. And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing, napping out here? But sure enough, I've heard this from parents. I've heard it from relatives. I've heard this from teachers. I've heard it from doctors. And of course, I've heard it from coaches that I need to be alert. So I think it'd be helpful this morning if we understood a little bit about what it means to be alert. In fact, if you're taking notes, and please write these down. The word alert means this. It means simply to stay awake, to lie sleepless. Did you catch that? To lie sleepless. That reminds me of the old phrase of the guys in the foxhole at wartime saying this to one another, we need to sleep with one eye open. That's what that reminds me of. And it's to be watchful, as in the case of danger. It also means to be diligent. The idea was this, that you were never off guard, because if you were off guard, the enemy would kill you, because the battle is that real. So, you know, as believers, we're on alert, because what I can see is two very large situations in front of us. One is this, and we've been covering it for the past 4 or 5 weeks. We are in a war zone. Simple as that. And if you're in a war zone, then you're a target of the enemy. You're under attack. And there's a second reason I think that we need to be on alert, and that's this. We're foreigners here. We are foreigners. We don't belong here. We're citizens of another place. We're destined to be in another place for eternity. This place, Earth, is not our home. It is strange to us. And as we're here and we're foreigners here, we are really subject to attack and to ridicule. If I'm alert, I pay attention. I pay attention to my immediate surroundings. I pay attention to my immediate surroundings as far as my town, as far as my state, as far as my country, and as far as my world. I see things around me. I know what's going on around me. And you know what? My purpose in all of that and how I can affect it for Christ is what I'm alert to. And I start to realize that's why God has placed me in this situation. He's placed me in this situation to be alert. And then as I'm alert, I can see where the Holy Spirit leads me to invest my time and my energy to fight in the spiritual battle and to push the kingdom of God further and glorify Him. The Holy Spirit uses my alertness to develop my sensitivity to certain areas around me to get me involved with action. And if I'm not alert, listen carefully to this, I want you to understand this. If I am not alert, or if I go down for any reason and become not alert, then I'm in trouble. You understand that. Everybody understands that. But listen to the key teaching here. If I'm not alert, yeah, I'm in trouble. But guess what? So are you. Because the body principle that's taught in the New Testament is this, that since you're in the body of Christ and I'm in the body of Christ, I'm responsible for you and you're responsible for me. So if I'm not being alert, yeah, I know I'm in trouble, but guess what I just did to you? I got you in trouble as well. And if I'm not alert or not on the alert, then I'm less effective for my defense. And guess what? Then I'm less effective for your defense as well. So how do I stay alert? What's the best method? Well, the best method is laid out here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. How? Here's a simple answer. I stay in the Spirit. Or I stay in communion with the Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit, who indwells me as a believer in Jesus Christ, takes my prayers and brings them before God the Father. Romans 8:26 says this, and you ought to know this verse because it's very encouraging in times of stress and anxiety, in times of temptation, in times of spiritual attack. Listen to what Paul tells us about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I wrote it out this way in my notes. The Holy Spirit takes my heart to God's heart. It's like when you're really in sync with your spouse or your best friend, and you're in a really dire situation, and you look at each other, and with just a look, here's the phrase I use with my wife, with just a look, a whole bunch of files have been transmitted between the two of you because you know how each other feels. That's what this is. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot possibly express. The Holy Spirit taking my heart to God's heart. I view this actually as the give and take that takes place between me and the Holy Spirit. It is His leading and guiding that puts me in various situations, which then causes me to pray. And then He brings them before God representing me. That's the relationship that we have. If you read this scripture, it also tells me when I'm supposed to do this. And you might kind of snicker at this a little bit, but I do this at all times or all occasions. Or as the scripture says, I pray without ceasing. I've been asked to pray at a variety of events in my life, including crisis situations, intensive care units, grave sites, accident sites, death sites, you get the idea. And I've noticed when I'm in a room of people like that in the hospital, and I say, Pastor, would you pray? I notice everybody in there, believer or not, bows their head and they pray with me. I see them nodding their heads as I'm praying. And it's people that don't usually pray, and they're praying, and they pray in situations like that. But after the crisis has passed and things get back to normal, people tend to go back to not praying. And listen, I would say this, for those who are followers of Christ, I think the same is true for most of us as well. When the crisis is past and things get back to normal, we don't typically pray. I need to develop the practice of praying at all times, developing that attitude of prayer. To experience this further, explain this further, that as a child of God, I'm experiencing the presence of God in all of my life and its activities. In every single thing that I do, every single conscious minute and unconscious minute, I realize that God is with me, and it causes me to consciously live in His presence. And this attitude gives me a mindset of prayer. This attitude gives me an attitude of prayer. I realize that there is nothing. There is nothing I can experience. There is nowhere that I can go. There is nowhere that I can go that I should not go. that God is not there with me in relationship as I experience his personal presence. This scripture this morning here from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, also tells me the what of all this. What am I supposed to pray? And it says this, with all prayer and supplication. Or if you've got another version, it may say this, all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer being the term that means the general term for our any conversation with God with no limits or barriers to it. I like that because I, like you, have been in situations where I've walked into a room. I don't know if you can even think back. Maybe you're in one now, and I'm sorry for that. But you're in a situation where you walk into a room and somebody says to you, shh, don't tell mom that. She'll blow a lid. No, don't say that. Don't say that. That'll set that off. And so you walk on eggshells in a room because you just can't be open in relationship with some people because of their harsh reaction. But what goes on here is this. We're told in Scripture to bring every single thing to God. There's nothing that I could say that will cause a harsh reaction or cause him to blow his lid. I come with praises. I come with requests, with confession of sin, with worship, and we know all of that. And I also come there with the nitty-gritties of my life. I also come there with disappointments. I also come there with complaints that I might have, and I bring them to him, and the God of the universe welcomes that communication with me. And you know what? For us as believers, this is normal, everyday, and frequent communication with the God of the universe, with nothing off limits. It's the communication between a loving father and his child. This word supplication you might be interested in as well here from Ephesians 6, verse 18. The word supplication means this, requests. But listen carefully as I go on here. It says requests typically for very specific and urgent needs. That indicates that the child of God is coming to God with very exact situations in and around their lives. It's pouring your heart out to God. He wants to hear from me as to what exactly is going on in my life with people and events and situations. So we need to know what those are. So we need to know exactly what is going on around our lives with the people and situations that are around us. We need to be informed people. The children of God were never meant to come to Jesus Christ and stick their head in the sand and not listen to anything. They were always meant to be the informed people. And then we were meant, as we're on the cutting edge of what's taking place, we were meant to pray on that cutting edge as to what was going on and what's happening now and how we handle it. Let me ask you a question. And since I can't look at you this morning, I can't tell what your face says. But here it is. We're all really concerned, and some are feeling an awful lot of anxiety about this coronavirus. Let me ask you this question. Have you gone to God about the virus and the spread of the virus yet? Have you? I'd almost guarantee that many of us have spent more time fretting and worrying and having anxiety than we have in going to God with something that greatly concerns this. And have you gone further? Have you even prayed that how can God use this event, this global event, to bring glory to himself through you, in the place that he's put you? I want you to notice from the scripture this morning that there's a why that's answered as well, and I'm to pray for all the saints. Listen carefully here. If I pray for you, I'm actively talking with you. I'm furthering my knowledge of you. I'm getting to hear your burdens and concerns. I know your hurts and your joys. If I pray for you, I'm really getting under the skin with you. And now, because I've heard those things about you, I can pray for you. And then listen to this dynamic that takes place. As I pray for you, a fellow saint, then I act to serve you. Wow. See how that's connected? In the New Testament, it's constantly taught that we live for each other as we pray for each other. And as I pray for you, I get more involved in your life. And guess what then? As I get more involved in your life, then it causes me to go to action. Think, we're on the same side. We face the same enemy, and it's displayed in my spiritual life and how I pray for you. So let me ask you this morning. How alert are you in the body of Christ? What's your commitment been to praying for the other believers that you know in Candlewood and elsewhere? And if you are praying, How is that praying affecting your relationship with those people? Do you find yourself burdened? Do you find yourself carrying the load that they carry? Are you now carrying it to God as well? And remember, when that takes place, that means other people are praying for you too. And has it caused you to live differently? That real prayer, has it caused you to live differently in the many areas of your life? That's called action. Would you bow with me now for prayer? And as you're bowing your head right now, when you're serious about praying for this ministry and the people in the body and others around you who know Christ, you join them in their spiritual warfare as they join you. And you know what? If you just come to church, just so that you can say you've been here and you spent your hour or hour and a half and you leave with that church habit and you walk out the door and say, huh, I did it, I'm done, without being involved in the body of Christ, then let me tell you something. You might know Jesus Christ, but you're just not getting it. We're called to be involved with each other in prayer and in action. Your burdens becoming mine and mine becoming yours, and then my actions becoming yours and your actions becoming mine. And if you live this way in the body of Christ, your priorities will definitely change. They'll definitely be more kingdom-oriented as you serve folks like that. At the beginning of this time together of teaching, I asked you to think about that one person in the body and asked you to pray for them. Think about them and pray for them as they're in the spiritual battle right now. Maybe you need to consider them differently now this morning as we go back to thinking about that person. Maybe you need to consider being more involved with them. Why did God even bring them to mind in the first place? Maybe you need to, when you're done listening to this in just a few minutes, maybe you even need to speak with them so that you might ask them, how can I pray for you? Or how can I help you during this time? That'd be a great thing to do. Great challenge. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time together that we've had in your word. It is so clear that you've given us such a plan. You've given us so many tools to fight off the devil and his fiery darts. But Father, we also realize that we need to be alert. And I pray as the day goes on for Candlewood and for those who are listening around the country, I pray that we would be more alert in the situations you've placed us in. And Father, with the mind of your Holy Spirit, not just be alert, but see through the situations in our lives and the lives of others, that we might truly be people of action. Action, Father, furthering your kingdom and the cause of Jesus Christ, ultimately to glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.